Welcome back to episode 4 of the Produce Common Sense podcast. You know what to do if you're liking what you're seeing, what you're learning, and what you're learning along with me. Hopefully in the previous episodes, you've heard things that have opened your eyes or opened your ears to a different perspective about produce, about ingredients, about the process of agriculture, you know, just even maybe your political views as well. And if you have, please subscribe and follow along so you can see the next episode. This is going to be episode 4. We've got Scott Schwab, who I've known for, I think, 3 years at least now, who's here with us. I'm going to let him introduce himself and give a little bit of his background and I guess how he ended up sitting next to me.
Thanks, Shay. Big fan and appreciate all that you're doing and the voice that you have. For me, I grew up in a small Idaho town, very passionate about farming, very passionate about agriculture. And where Shay and I collided was within the hemp or the CBD space. We launched a company in 2019 called Met and Met Naturals, ultimately trying to connect all of the dots between agriculture or ag tech for us and the end result or the consumer in an e-commerce platform. So happy to be here today. Love what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's been an interesting process, especially the hemp. So we'll talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think certainly for both of us, it was, I don't think at all like we expected it was going to be.
Absolutely not. I mean, you come in and you are trusting in experts or so-called experts who give you their opinion and the way that it should be. But we learned over the process of about 12 months, 18 months, that the experts were here on the farm. It was right. You guys as the farmers, sure. Wherein we were both relying on a third-party company that, you know, was supposed to be able to do all things. But, you know, ultimately, I think we're in a good spot now in a rebuilding type of a scenario. But, man, it's been rough.
Yeah, it's been a learning process. I think when a lot of you don't know that we are hemp growers. I don't talk a lot about it. I did, and it's been a frustrating, challenging, angering, every emotion on the spectrum, process. So I haven't talked a lot about it. I like to, you know, highlight the successes more than I do the failures. Not that this is an absolute failure, but it certainly is not like a home run at this point, and we still are learning so many things. So you haven't seen a lot about it, but we have been there from the beginning. I think we surprised a lot of people in how fast, not just us, but in general, how fast agriculture can scale and do things when we're asked to do so. But unfortunately, because it was really came out of the black market, at least a gray market, to such an extent, there were a lot of players that were both operating unethically and really didn't know what they were doing. But there was a lot of dollars behind them. So, you know, it kind of goes back to, like, I tell everyone that the challenge that I saw with hemp was all the VC money, the venture capital money that was part of it. Everyone could be, they were kind of camouflaged by this facade of good marketing and a good presentation. I mean, their pitch decks were really good. Everything seemed to make sense. It just was when you got farther down the line, you're like, well, that piece is missing and this piece is missing and that piece is missing, but you didn't know it. And so you were way down the path.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. When the Farm Bill passed, everybody rushed in and wanted to be a part of this gold mine. And one of the challenges was just like you said, there was an announcement, but there was no plan. There was legitimacy in a hemp plant that was grown really heavily back in the 1920s, 1930s. But because of legislation, it kind of fell into the category of a controlled substance. And so the players who emerged, obviously, when the Farm Bill passed, they weren't the best players. But I do think that that's kind of leveled out and we're really seeing the true aspects of what the industry can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we're seeing today, like with the relationship between our farming operation and Met Naturals, is the effort to do everything the way that we imagined, like the way we thought it was going to be in the beginning. But instead of being part of or working with all of these other people to accomplish that, we kind of had to invent the entire process from start to finish, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I mean, to point that out, anybody who's thinking about getting into the farming side of hemp, you really have to have a lot of things aligned. For us, we're very lucky to have Hawaii Produce and Shay and the whole family as a part of our operations, ultimately because you already have best practices built in. You already have that in every single field. You already have testing. You already have the verification process. And so it's already built into what we enjoy on the product side to our customers, which is total transparency, total simplicity, and the purity aspect. You won't find a better farm, in my opinion, than a white produce.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, we try and, well, with onions or with asparagus or with watermelons or with CBD and hemp, it's the same idea. We're trying to put our best foot forward, be transparent. So I'll make sure that I get more videos out on hemp again. But they're out there. If you go look in past videos, they were there. But, you know, try and have that transparency there so you understand the, again, what the processes are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. And ultimately it's to create something that the consumer wants. And that's a lot trickier than a lot of people realize. Whether, I'm going to go back to onions for a second. You think, okay, onions are just super simple. Like, how many different things can you really do with an onion to satisfy the need of the consumer? And I have Angela who's worked in sales now for 6 years, I believe. And she came from software. And she's like, she says this all the time, how complicated, like, you guys make produce as complicated as you possibly can. Like, sure. The software, she's like, software's got all of this, you know, you got to build the software, you got to sell the software, you got to maintain the software. And she's like, this is just so much harder. And we don't try and make things complicated, but we're always trying to stand out in one way or another so that we can be profitable. Being profitable within agriculture is much more challenging than what any of us would like it to be, than anyone likes to admit. It's really intensively capital intense and requires, you know, lots of infrastructure to be able to do what we do. And the hemp is included in that. Like, that's part of the infrastructure. We've been able to repurpose a lot of our old infrastructure and old 2007 build, but repurpose a lot of the infrastructure to utilize it in a way that, you know, is definitely not available to most hemp producers or hemp growers.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. I mean, for all the tech lovers out there, I mean, I came from the ed tech space, and one of the things that was most fascinating to me is the quality down to the square foot, which is what OIA Produce has always done, is they know exactly where things are coming from. They have batch IDs. And so for us, when we're introducing a new product or a product that has once been around but now is kind of somewhat fresh and new, again, it goes back to best practices and how you guys have complete clarity. And the way that you've opened up all of our eyes, you know, consumers, from how you store onions, how you prepare onions, the various types of angles and views and pictures every onion gets as it comes through the line, that's incredible to me.
Right.
And I'm familiar with farm work and how it's stored. I mean, more on the potato side, russet side.
Right.
But I love what you guys do, and seeing is believing, because you'd be blown away being here on the farm with all of the facilitation and the storage. Because what people don't understand is that if you can't store it, you're going to lose your crop. And
right.
So love, again, the light that you're shining on agriculture. And I think that more people need to subscribe. So subscribe to
Shea's
podcast.
What do you think is, from your perspective, so you grew up in ag, you've been in the city though, like urban-based, I'm going to say, for the last 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
So what do you think is the single largest misconception that someone from the city has about agriculture and farming in general?
You know, it probably could be summarized by what Cuomo said. Throw some seeds in the ground and that's what you're going to get, a plant. How hard can it be?
Right.
Ultimately, that is the most misaligned statement I've ever seen or heard, because there's all of the prep work, and the prep work can't happen right before planting. The prep work is done months in advance. And then you're watching the pH levels, you're watching the nutrients, you're watching to make sure that field actually is going to embrace the product or, you know, the produce that you're going to put into it. Ultimately, it is such a calculated process, and you don't control most of it, because that's Mother Nature.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah, we say we can control 20% of the process, water inputs, fertility, but 80% of our results are based on Mother Nature.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a good summation of just the type of business that we're in. So when we're, when we have an opportunity to, you know, sell an item at a significant margin, which doesn't happen very often, but when we do, we're like, yeah, we got to capture that, because so many times the opposite's true. And we might get a perfect crop, get it all the way, you know, to the store and be losing 50 cents or a dollar or $2 per unit. Because, you know, it's a true supply and demand capitalistic real process that, you know, isn't subsidized or controlled, you know, artificially in any way when you're talking about fresh produce.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, in fact, if you look at like a lot of, in a lot of economy, you know, 101, 201, 301 type of classes, they like to study onions in particular because of the volatility within the onion market and the fact that it's a true, you know, market economy where you can watch the process and watch like what happens when you oversupply the market.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, and I would say too, I mean, the more data that we can find that helps us to be able to really explore the right types of crops, the right timing, there's a cadence, and you know this better than I do in farming, that is, you need to put nutrients back into the ground. And what we found is hemp is a great, great rotational crop because of the nutrients that it replenishes into the ground, but the oxygen that it puts up into the air. And so if we get the right size of how much to grow, because again, we probably grew too much year one.
Right.
But at the same time, like what we've found is that there are so many opportunities to be able to replenish the earth and to be able to grow sustainability in forms of textiles, in forms of construction material. So there's a future there. We've just got to get the downline a little bit.
Yeah, that part, it's just the development of what the products, because there was a lot of hype initially about everything. It's going to be used for plastics. It's going to be used for wood fiber. It's going to be used for, you know, cabinets, flooring, everything. And I think there's still lots of potential that's still being developed. It's just a lot slower. And partially because of the so many bad players in the industry, it actually, instead of, you know, kind of ramping up and continuing to gain momentum, I think it kind of was a bubble and it burst.
Yeah.
Or it fell off a cliff to follow the same analogy. And people are slowly, you know, using their pickaxes and ropes to climb their way back up to get out of that hole that was created by so many bad players, because it's still a viable, valuable, useful crop.
Yeah.
It's just going to take a lot longer to get there than anybody imagined.
Yeah. And you're right on. I mean, the more and more tests that come out, I mean, I've seen tests that show that hempcrete is 10 times as strong as concrete.
Right.
But the other cool things about it is you're lessening your carbon footprint, and you're cheapening the cost of cement mix. And so if we can find higher tensile strength, and we're finding overall strength being increased by PSI, in my mind, it's a no-brainer. So we should be growing to that, but give us the specifications of what these mixing plants are going to buy.
Right.
So
they're putting it in like fiber, almost like they do glass. Like,
yeah, okay. Fiberglass. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
And the same thing goes with, we've been experimenting with a couple of MDF products, right? And so you're taking all of that like hash or the herd inside of the stem and stalk, and you grind that up and you're pressing it. And with a resin glue, you're getting it to a solid state. There's more testing that needs to happen there. I did a OSB process, almost took off my finger, but I was
that's proof of it.
I was putting these it on a table saw, and I just got too close, it nicked it, but luckily it kept my finger. But the OSB, when you stack the hemp, you know, across each other and then bake it and then put it into a resin, man, that stuff is as strong. It is so strong. And so we're very hopeful that there's things with hemp wool, hemp wood, hempcrete. But again, those things need to be a little bit further developed.
So tell people how they can find you, follow you, and a little bit more on your background of what you're currently doing outside of Met Naturals.
Yeah, thank you so much. So you can find us at met.naturals, and we're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Me personally, probably my biggest platform is on LinkedIn. But ultimately, I want to see the technology that we all have been developing for the last 20, 30 years to really embrace systems or processes that could be improved simply through documentation and data. I think that we can become better at what we do mm-hmm. by taking our end consumer product and tying that back all the way to the full panel that was done on the dirt.
Right.
And then on the seed and the genetic. So we're getting genetics. And if we can, well, let's take that all the way through so that the phytocannabinoid that we grow here on the farm is matching with the endocannabinoid system within each of us. And the cool thing about that is the endocannabinoid system, your DNA will tell you what you're deficient in. And that's where we're going, is totally embracing technology and saying, let's do a saliva test mm-hmm. and get the DNA from what you individually need or your endocannabinoid system needs. So that's where we're going with the technology, but it all starts on the farm.
And so what was your passion and like, how did you get so passionate about this? Cause this isn't in your background. It's not what you were doing. So,
yeah. So technology has always been a love of mine, and the delivery of education for people that may not necessarily fall into a traditional market, or a traditional pathway. I was really interested in non-traditional education, and because of that, started really heavy in the tech space. And then the tech space, as I looked at farming hemp, they aligned. So
kind of the same thing. I mean, it was non-traditional.
Yeah.
Right. So you had your doubts about the traditional or common practices, I guess. That introduced the doubt or the interest in exploring something new.
Yep. You got it.
All right. Well, thank you for being on with us.
Thanks.
And if you guys want to find Scott or Met Naturals, you know where to do that. If you want some Met Natural products, we'll have that shortly on the website with an affiliate link, so you can get on there and get a 10% discount. We get requests all the time for, especially on my social channels, where people are like, hey, how can we get your onions? Well, it's pretty hard to ship an onion across the country. But in the case of a CBD product, medicine, creams, tinctures, et cetera, it is something that we can do. So if you're interested in seeing something, a product that came from our farm and something that we've been involved with start to finish, this will be a way to do it. And I hope you learned something along with me. Again, that's always my goal, is for us to learn together, and I'll catch you next time.
Thanks.